Rabbi Yoel Karen does bring valuable information to the table. He's an excellent broadcast partner. We assist him in being able to have an opportunity to speak across the nation of America on our nationwide radio talk program. And it gives us an opportunity to let the body of Christ understand really what is happening in relationship to the preparations to build the next temple and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. We also focus on the European Union and how it is playing a key role in setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled in the future. An expert in that area is Dr. Rob Congdon. He's lived in Europe for a number of years, travels back and forth several times a year. He is very much on top of what's happening there, and we call him a valuable broadcast partner when it comes to focusing on that part of the world. That's what is amazing to me. We have these broadcast partners that assist us in doing the program. Without them, our program would not be much of anything, but they do bring information to the table, a necessity for us to hear what they're talking about. Rob, we've been talking with a previous guest and with future guests on the broadcast today about the new pope that is in place now in the Vatican City, actually. And I wanted to get from you what the reaction from the Europeans might be on this selection of the new pope. I believe it's Francis I. What are your thoughts, and what are the people of Europe thinking about this new pope? This is the first pope in what? I think 1,000 years that has not come out of the European continent. What are your thoughts, and what are their thoughts?
Well, actually, you're right. It's the first pope in 1,200 years that has not been European. The EU leaders are very happy with it. They expect great things with it. I think they're happy that it also ties in with Latin America, which has always been an interest of the European Union. The leadership of the European Union, we've mentioned many times, are Roman Catholic, and so they look at it positively. And if you look at the history of the European Union, you'll find that it was founded by people who were influenced by the Jesuit group of the Roman Catholic Church, and this is the first pope to be a Jesuit. I think there is a significance there. It certainly gives a commonality of many of the views of people in the European Union. And even though Roman Catholicism has been declining in Europe, it's a small percent now, the leadership and many people still view the Vatican as very important to Europe and to the European Union.
Well, you know, I heard the other day in a report coming out about the selection of the new pope and talking about Catholicism and talking about him coming from Argentina. And as I remember, the report said that 40% of all the members of the Catholic Church across the globe, 40% of them are found in South America. That does give a leg up on the leadership and the papacy there in the Vatican with all of those many worshipers there in South America. You made this statement that the European Union has had an interesting connection with South America. Those are two questions. Put them together and talk to me.
Well, the European Union has had ties. Obviously, many Europeans have ties in Latin America, as do the history of the Latin American countries have ties through colonial powers, etc., with European Union. The Union also has been working with a group in Latin America that is forming a union or has been a union. It hasn't really taken off as such, but the European Union is very much interested in open trade, and this European Union-like union of South America could well be advancing now in importance because of this link. Never forget, the Vatican is a significant influence on the European Union.
And that 40% of all the Catholic worshipers being in South America, very significant as well. Let me talk to you about a statement that I read. I'm not quite sure I understand it. The headline was, Europe still has some sleeping war demons. What in the world is that talking about?
Well, what I call is the voice of the European Union, Jean-Claude Juncker. He's a big, somewhat behind-the-scenes EU person, but when he speaks, everyone listens. He's the Luxembourg Prime Minister. He has brought up a subject which is a touchy subject. The European Union's goal is to keep peace between France, Germany, and the other countries of Europe to prevent war. And Juncker has made the comment that more recently, because of the currency situation, because of the slowness of the EU to react, and tensions between the countries are growing. Germany came down hard on Greece. The Italian situation is starting to create some anti-EU views. And so what's happening, he's saying, is that there are striking, and I'm quoting him, striking parallels to 1913. He is pointing out that the situations that brought about the big powers and the war in World War One, which, remember, has dramatic effects on Europe even to this day, he's afraid that some of those same tensions are starting to grow again. The European Union's goal was to get rid of tensions between countries and get rid of those historic tensions. And now, with the economic problems, the Eastern European bloc having some concerns, and Italy, he is worried that really the tensions of the past aren't gone. And I think he's right in many ways. I think it's going to show that the European Union's got to get stronger. It's got to quickly deal with the growing restlessness in Europe against their inactivity and not solving the problem. So he's worried. Germany wants austerity. The other countries say we can't survive with that and increasing taxes, and the tensions are growing. He's vocalizing those tensions.
Well, there's that economic problem as well, and you and I have mentioned in the past, not only do we focus on the Jewish people, the city of Jerusalem, and what's happening in that part of the world, but economics and the global crisis economically, especially there as it relates to the Eurozone in European Union. This is, again, probably the basis for these demons, would it not be?
I think so, and see what's happening is it's not just the financial problems now. Unemployment is growing substantially throughout Europe. When you have people unemployed, they look for someone to blame, and they start reacting in ways that governments can't control them as they once could. So all of these, if you will, sleeping demons are seemingly awakening, and I think what it's going to result in is the only way to solve it is the EU's got to get strong power through single, strong leadership.
Wow, that does sound like that prophetic scenario found in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and other locations throughout the prophetic word of God. Well, talk to me briefly about the European Union elections to be held May of next year. Is that significant?
Well, they are in that it starts reflecting the opinions, the feelings, and most importantly, the interest in the European Union. This is for their parliament, and if people don't show interest in that election, they sort of disregard it. It's saying they don't care about the European Union. The leadership in many ways don't really care what the people think, but they don't want them to express a negative viewpoint or an image of a weakening European Union. So the election is really more to help build up in the polls and in the media the fact that the European Union is still the leader of these 27 nations.
Dr. Rob Congdon, he is the man who looks at the European Union for us, and we need to have his insights. That's why we have him on a weekly basis here as a broadcast partner on Prophecy Today. Rob, thank you so very much. You've informed us very well this week. Appreciate it.
Always good to be with you. Lord bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I have two guests yet to be heard from here on Prophecy Today. Mike Gendron, he's going to talk about the selection of the new pope, and Brandon House, he's going to talk about it's a Jesuit. What does that mean? That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.